I've been teaching out of the book of Galatians. We've gone through the first four chapters, and now we're in chapter 5. In the first four chapters, Paul has been trying to draw a contrast between being in bondage to the law of Moses and being free in the Spirit by the law of Christ. In fact, the whole gist of this letter is that the law brings bondage and faith brings freedom. Verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul sums up all which he had said in the previous four chapters. He says in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free." In other words, Paul is saying, so Christ has truly set us free. Now let's make sure that we stay free and don't get tied up again in the bondage of the law of Moses. He said, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." They were to stand fast with the freedom which Christ had freed them. This refers to the freedom from the bondage of the law of Moses. This freedom was a liberation from the power and grip of sin which had enslaved them through the law. And then he says, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." For these Galatians to turn to the law, as they were being urged to do by the Judaizers, would mean that they would be entangled, burdened, weighted down again. This yoke of bondage would mean the end of their freedom with Christ. And then Paul describes the results of the Galatians submitting to the law. In verse 2 he said, "I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." In other words, Paul is saying, listen, if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, to be accepted with God, to be born again into the family of God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. But in contrast, those living by faith have through the Spirit the hope of righteousness. And then Paul tells them the results of submitting to any part of the law, especially here with circumcision. "If you be circumcised," Paul said, "you become a debtor to the whole law." And he warns them if they allow themselves to be circumcised, they will forfeit the benefit of their relationship with Christ. The Judaizers no doubt told them that circumcision would not affect their Christian faith through the acceptance of the law of circumcision. Paul had repeatedly disapproved, and the consequences of such action is just not futility. "To every man," Paul says, "to every man that is circumcised, that he is debtor to do the whole law." The man who takes it upon himself, any part of the law, is obligated to keep them all. Apparently, the Judaizers had failed to make this plain to the Gentiles. What Paul was saying repeatedly, "Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." Paul is saying here that the Galatians was in danger of apostasy. The Galatians had experienced God's grace and was now turning from God. Since the New Testament times, it has been beyond comprehension how those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the divine nature and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, how could they possibly return to the old life of sin? Some have developed a theology that denies its possibility. Others insist that once a man becomes a child of God, his choices, his decisions, cannot alter his new relationship. But neither Scripture nor human experience backs up such a teaching. One of the greatest truths of the New Testament is that of God's self-limitations. God will not transgress or abuse human freedom. The same God who will not save a man against his will not keep a man saved against his will. As long as a soul desires and wills to love and serve God, he is indeed secure. But when a man or a woman chooses to return to the slavery of sin and Satan, God will respect that decision. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.